It's just wonderful to be with you all, and today we're going to be looking at and hunting for Jesus. But it's going to be an Old Testament story, but we are going to find Jesus. So before I even start, I want to pray. I just want to pray over myself and over the whole church. Lord Jesus, we just pray right now by your Holy Spirit that you come and you reveal yourself to us, to each and every one of us, as we look at this story and we read your word and we listen to what you are saying to us, one by one by one. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, so this title is Living in Lodabar, the Pastureless Land. And I am in 1 and 2 Samuel. And this is what God gave me during lockdown. He said to me, I was sitting out in the garden, and he just said to me, read Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel. And he also said to me, now start to hunt for mercy. Start to do a study on mercy. And that is what I did. So this has been dwelling in me for some time. It's a beautiful story of mercy, grace, compassion, kindness, peace, love, and acceptance. And it's an Old Testament story, but we can find Jesus within it. We can find Jesus. So we're going to look at it now and see how it speaks to you and me in 2020, August 2020. So here we go. Here's the backstory. You've got Saul is the king. He has got a son called Jonathan. And Jonathan has a friend called David, who is later to become King David, Israel's king. Now, Saul is incredibly jealous of David, of his fighting prowess, of his the way that people acclaim him. He is so jealous of him. In fact, he tried to kill him on more than one occasion. And in the middle of these two people, you have Jonathan. Just like I'm standing right now in the middle of this screen, you have Jonathan, the son of Saul, the friend of David. And Jonathan tries to help David to escape and to be protected. And Saul is determined to kill David. So Jonathan and David make a covenant. Now, a covenant is basically an agreement and a treaty. And here it is in 1 Samuel 18, verses 1 to 4. 1 Samuel 18. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David. The connection was there. And he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant, a promise, an agreement with David, because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off his robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword and his bow and his belt. So they exchanged. He gave him clothing. Now, when you make a covenant in Old Testament time, going way back, it isn't just biblical tribes that would have done this. This was commonplace across early people groups, that when you made a covenant, you would exchange clothing. You would swear allegiance to each other. You would give covenant terms. What is mine is yours. If anyone comes against you, they come against me. I'm going to fight for you. If your family are in need, I will provide. And if you die, then I will take care of your offspring. Okay, so now we're going to go straight to 1 Samuel 20, verse 16. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, may the Lord call David's enemies to account. And Jonathan and David reaffirmed this oath out of love, because he loved him as he loved himself. So this covenant is strong and binding. Right at the very end of 1 Samuel, in chapter 31, Jonathan and Saul die in Jezreel. There's a battle with the Philistines, and Saul is wounded by an arrow, and then he asks his armor bearer to kill him, and the armor bearer says, no, I'm not going to do that. And he says, well, okay, I will just fall on my sword. So Saul and Jonathan die. So that is at the end of 1 Samuel. Now let's move into 2 Samuel 4, verse 4. Okay, so Jonathan has a son. And Jonathan's son is, now here we go, I've been practicing, Mephibosheth. Now, I hope I get that right all the way through. If I don't, you may laugh. Mephibosheth. You try at home. See what happens. Put your teeth in first. Okay, so Jonathan, son of Saul, who was lame in both... Jonathan, son of Saul, had a son who was lame in both feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. His nurse picked him up and fled. As she hurried to leave, Mephibosheth fell and became disabled. The Bible said he became lame. His name was Mephibosheth. Okay, so here he is, and he is now in fear and desperation. Now, let me just explain this a little bit to you. He goes and hides away in Lodabar, which means pastureless, arid land. He goes and hides away there because in these days there was revenge killings. And so he was really, really worried that David, who is now going to become king, would try and find him and kill him. For all the things that Saul had done towards David, you know, there might be this revenge going on. And he's thinking, I belong to Saul's family. I'm going to go and hide in Lodabar, this pastureless place. Okay, so a bit later on, we get to 2 Samuel 9, and this is where the covenant kicks in, the original covenant between David and Jonathan. Even though Jonathan's died, the covenant stands. The covenant stands. Here we go. Here we go. David asks, is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? And say, so this is the bit. David then summons Mephibosheth from Lodabar, and he has him brought to his palace because he is in a covenant relationship with his father, Jonathan. And that means that he wants to continue to care for anybody in Jonathan's family. So back to the Bible. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honour. David said, Mephibosheth, at your service, he replied. Don't be afraid, David said to him, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will always eat at my table. Mephibosheth bowed down and said, what is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. So there was total restoration of land, and there was restoration between David and Saul's family. Total restoration. So Mephibosheth makes an excellent decision. He decides to leave Lodabar. Arid, pastureless land. He leaves it behind and he goes into David's house. Now, David could have broken his covenant quite easily with Jonathan. Jonathan's dead, so don't need to do it anymore. But he didn't. He would have done anything for any of Jonathan's family. He was fulfilling his covenant to his father, Jonathan, to love and care for those who are part of Jonathan's family. There's overwhelming love and commitment. Now remember, we are trying to hunt for Jesus in this story. We are listening and hunting for Jesus. David didn't see Mephibosheth's disability. I don't want to say lameness, I know that's what the word is, but he did not see it. It was not a blockage to his love being poured out towards Mephibosheth. David had a table ready, prepared. Mephibosheth was found and invited to come. Mephibosheth was going in one direction, living in Lodabar, in that awful pastureless place. And then he turns direction and he goes towards provision, blessing, acceptance, an adoption. So he's over there and he makes a decision of his own free will to move into this pasture of provision from one to the other. Why me? Mephibosheth's thinking. He's really got this dead dog thinking right inside his brain. Why bless me? Look at me, look at my legs. He would not have been accepted. In those days, if you had a disability, you'd have hidden away because that's just what society was like. So why hunt for me and why bless me? He sat down in all his emotional mess and he sat at David's table. The table covered his legs. The table covered his legs. He came under David's protection, an incredible provision. It was his choice, his free will, and he agreed to stay with David. Immediately he was restored. He was blessed. And guess what? The dead dog thinking had to go. We don't know how long it took to go, but it had to go. So now let's think about ourselves in 2020. I'd like to talk to two groups of people. The first group are people that are living right now and you are currently visiting Lodabar, the pastureless place. You know the Lord. He's blessed you in times past and you're saved. But you're visiting Lodabar. You're limping along, carrying burdens and struggling through circumstances. And there's some really difficult circumstances happening at the moment, and they're very heightened in this time. You found yourself visiting the pastureless land, carrying a tatty old baggage, like an old rucksack or something, and it's full of your life's troubles. Can I just say to you that it's really hard to find food in a dry and barren and parched land? But there's an invitation from the Lord who says, come to my table. I have prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. That enemy is up here in your brain. That enemy is up here in your thought processes. Maybe you need to ask for forgiveness, ask for healing, ask for refreshing, ask for the Lord to meet you. It's all there. He is always there. He's ready and waiting, and it's your choice. There is always a way to come near to the Lord, and his promise is that he will come near to you. There is nothing, there is no hindrance that is going to stop his love flowing to you. There is nothing, nothing at all. Just like with David and Mephibosheth, those legs were not an issue. Those legs were not an issue. They were covered by the table, and you are covered by the blood of Jesus. So, you are under a new covenant. The old has gone, the new has come. You are under a covenant that cannot be changed, taken away, destroyed, rubbed out. It cannot be because it's Jesus and what he has done for you. The covenant towards you for the blood shed, the forgiveness of sins will not change. So here we go, 1 Colossians 13 and 14. I love this scripture. We mentioned it on Friday night at the prayer and worship. For he has rescued you, rescued me, rescued us from the dominion, the power of darkness, and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That is the truth. That is where you are. The great exchange has already happened for you. The great exchange. He's taken your sins on himself, my sins on himself, and he's given you freedom. He's given you protection through the blood of Jesus and provision. And it's as if the Lord is saying to you, as you spend time with me, eating, supping with me, my character will soften you and change you, and you will become different. Things will be different. And you will enjoy fellowship with me. My love for you is endless, it's everlasting, it won't go away. Can I just encourage you to read Psalm 63 if you're in this group? Read Psalm 63. David knew what to do. He starts by saying, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. That is Lodabar. That is where you might be visiting. But this is what he does. He praises the Lord. I will open my mouth. I will lift up my hands. I will praise you. I will declare. Now, I just felt like when I was writing this and going through this, I felt like saying to you, rebuke dissenting voices. Rebuke dissenting voices. If the old landlord comes knocking, kick the door in his face. You don't belong to him anymore, you belong to Jesus. Kick the door in his face and declare who you are in Jesus. Stand on God's word, stand in faith, stand wearing the armor of God. You will be fed with the richest of food. So may I just encourage you to read Psalm 63. Just get through, halfway through, and start to do what David did each day. And then you will find you are beginning to leave Lodabar and coming into the Lord's pasture. Because let's remember, Jesus is the overseer, the shepherd and overseer of your soul. The great exchange has happened already. You are saved. Move out of Lodabar and come into his pasture. Okay, now the second group are people that have set up residence in Lodabar. They don't know the Lord yet, but they have set up residence. And this is a conversation that you might be going through. You might be going through. The Lord says to you, I know your ways. I know your thoughts. I know your actions. I know your burdens. I know your baggage, your emotional baggage. I know your hindrances. I know them all. They hamper your life. But come to me. Come as you are. I will forgive you your sins. Ask me. And you reply, who am I that you'd notice a dead dog like me? The dead dog attitude in there. I don't deserve it, Lord. I don't deserve mercy, grace, compassion, love, everlasting love. I don't deserve it. Why me? I've done terrible things. I've thought terrible things. Why me? Why me? And the Lord says, because I love you. My love for you is everlasting. It's not going to change. It's not going to go away. I'm not going to let you down. I love you. I love you. I created you and I knew you before you were born. You're mine. You're chosen. So you say, Lord, what do I have to do? Just come to me as you are, Jesus says. Just come. If you're in this group and you are thinking about Jesus, and you're being drawn to Jesus, just come to him today. Just come to him. He will forgive you your sins. You confess your sins, he will forgive them. He died for you. You'll then be free from all of this stuff you've been dragging around, this heavy burden. You'll be free to live away from Lodabar, away from the pastureless land, and come into his wonderful, fresh, green pasture, just like it says in Psalm 23. Forgiveness, restoration, sonship and blessing await you. He wants to be your protector. He wants to be your saviour. He wants to be your shepherd. There is no blockage. There is no blockage whatsoever with the love the Lord has for you. That it is there, ready and waiting. Just like between David and Mephibosheth, there was no blockage. There was no blockage at all. And that's the same for us and Jesus. That's the same for you and Jesus. The love is total, it's everlasting, and you will receive peace and joy and a future hope and an everlasting life, and the Holy Spirit will come and live within you every day to help you, to really deeply help you. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So imagine coming out of that place and into this beautiful place where you'll be fed by Jesus, and you will not be thirsty, and all of those things of the world will not mean anything to you, because you'll come into this wonderful, loving arms of a Saviour. There is an amazing banquet waiting for you. Come away from your dry, arid life. Eat and drink with the Lord. So now I don't know who I'm speaking to right now. I don't know who has tuned in that doesn't know the Lord. I don't know whether you've been tuning in for a while. I don't know. But I just feel really impressed to say, is this your day for salvation? Is this your day? Is this your day to leave the Lodabar and come into the kingdom of Jesus? Come into that wonderful light. Take a moment now. Is this your time right now to say sorry to the Lord for your sins? To turn around and go in the other direction? Walk away from your life, your past life, and come into a new life. If this is your day, then I'm going to be praying a prayer in a minute. And I'm going to be praying it not too quickly so that you can join in at home, wherever you are. You can join in and commit your life to the Lord. Just take a moment and think about it. What have you been struggling with? What's been difficult? What's your baggage? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Lord Jesus, I am sorry for the way I have lived. Please forgive me for my sinful ways, in thought, in word, and in actions. Thank you for dying for me on the cross at Calvary. As I accept you into my life as my Lord and Saviour, I turn away from my old life to live a new life with the Holy Spirit helping me, with your Holy Spirit helping me every day. Amen. Now, if you are somebody who has prayed that, in a minute there will be a connect screen coming up. So please do let us know, because we're here and we really want to know if you have committed your life to the Lord. We want to help you. We want to connect with you. We want to draw you into everything that is happening, even though it's difficult at times, but we really, really do. So now, can I just go back to group one? The first group that are visiting, just visiting Lodabar, can I urge you to read Psalm 63 this week and do what David did and just bring yourself out of Lodabar into that pasture, green, fresh pasture that you know is there. Just do it and sing and praise and worship the Lord. Thank you ever so much, everybody, for listening. I'm just going to pray now and then hand back to Daryl and Claire. So, Lord Jesus, in every home that's listening, come now by your Holy Spirit. Come this week. Lord, my God, speak to us, move within us, be with us. Holy Spirit, come and help us. Jesus, we love you. Lord Jesus, we love you. Amen.